A couple of years ago, I was on internship, and I was at the very beginning of my ministry. I'd just become kind of a leader in the church, and I was one of those pastor conferences, and one of the most senior pastors in the room remarked that leadership can be tricky. Because when you're called to lead, you're called to lead from the front. Go out in front of your people and show them the way. But the trick is that you don't want to get so far ahead of them that they mistake you for the enemy and shoot you in the back. So this is the idea that you want to be in front, but not too far, or they're going to get angry at you and you're going to have a very unpleasant time. Last week in our gospel story, after returning from spending 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus returns home. And while home, he goes to the synagogue, a place where him and his family have worshipped, a place where people knew him and had seen him grow up in their midst. And on this day, he stands up and reads these verses from the scroll of Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he sits down and proclaims, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And in response, the people are amazed. They're excited. Imagine how proud and excited the synagogue community must be to see the prophecy of God come from Joseph's son. The excitement that this young man from their community is the one who performs miracles and preaches with God's authority. They get excited because surely he is going to do something for them at this moment. Yet Jesus tells the crowd that he's not going to perform what he did in Capernaum. So in response, the crowd gets angry. So angry they want to throw Jesus off a cliff. And while the crowd has grown violent and wants to throw Jesus off a cliff, and that's kind of hard to relate to, I think it's somewhat easy to relate to the people of Nazareth. Often when we talk about Jesus doing things, I think of him teaching. I think of him performing miracles. I think of him healing. In fact, after this story, we get accounts of him in Capernaum, him doing acts of healing. We hear about a man who's possessed and has a demon removed from him. We hear about Peter's mother-in-law who has a fever and is healed. The NIV translation titles this, "Jesus Heals Many." So I understand why the people of Nazareth are getting angry. Because they're struggling with a common struggle of faith. Sometimes it feels like God is not doing something for us that we have seen God do for others. Or put it another way, why does it seem like God only answers some prayers? A question that comes in many circumstances, but I often hear, particularly in medical illness. Because in the moments of need, we find ourselves waiting for that answer, that hope, that we know that God can only provide. Therefore, it's easy for us to struggle, to feel like our faith is being tested when we don't seem to be getting an answer. Feels like we're struggling with God, asking God, "Why, God, why?" We feel that life makes no sense. Maybe even question whether there is a God. Because we can't see the answer of God, the answer of our prayers. So I understand why the people of Nazareth feel angry. I understand why they want to throw Jesus off a cliff. Because on the surface, it feels like he's not going to do anything. Like Jesus is unwilling to help them on this day. But to believe that he is doing nothing, that what he offers these people is absolutely nothing, would be contrary to the story of the four Gospels. Each of the four Gospels tells us that Jesus is going to perform a miracle greater than any other miracle he performs. Greater than what he does in Capernaum, greater than what he does at Cana, greater than any other one. And it's the one that reaches out to all people. He dies on a cross so that he is raised again into the resurrection. The resurrection is a miracle for us all. For all people. A miracle that gives us the promise that life will exist even after death. But not wavering in our faith is hard. In the midst of disease and illness, financial ruin, any of these things that make life hard, it's easy to ask the question, God, where are you? Why are you not answering my prayers? I cannot see you. It's why in the midst of a funeral, I ask people not to look so much for God, but we turn to the promise that God has made us. Because in the midst of grief, it's sometimes hard to spot God. You may see him in the past, you may see him. But what I often remember is that God is a God of promise. That God keeps those promises even when we cannot see God. And that the promise of God says, I will redeem you. I will raise you. I will love you. And we heard it in our passage from Corinthians. Talked about love. Love is kind. Love is all these things. And what it's really saying is God is all these things. We hear passages like John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, not to condemn the world, but that in order to be saved through him. It's this idea that when we struggle with our faith, we hold on to the promise. Because that promise we know is true. I may not be always able to see God, but I know that God has made a promise to us. That in the midst of things that we cannot understand, I cannot see the whole picture, I know that God is with me. And that God is with us. And that while I may struggle today, we hold on to the fact that one day, when I am not able to quite see it, it will come suddenly like a thief in the night. I will know there will be a day of joy. Because on that day, we will all have new life. Amen. Please join me in singing our gospel hymn.